I have a philosophy, and I have lived by it. This is starting my 41st year in the ministry. Started preaching before 1971, but I started officially into the ministry in 1971, which is 41 years ago. And one of the things that I have, a philosophy that I've had all through the years, is that when it's time to preach, you preach what the Lord has given you. Because I'm convinced of this. Somebody here this morning needs what I'm saying. Somebody here needs it, and the rest of us can profit from it. And I have that kind of philosophy every time I step up to the pulpit to preach. That whatever it is, regardless of what I think about it, because I've had some messages and had some sermons, and I thought, you know, I don't know what this is for. And then after the service, somebody would come up and say, that was just for me because of whatever reason. But I know that if somebody can profit from it, if someone needs it, then all of us can profit from it. So I want to share with you. I don't know. I called it Walking in the Light. Maybe I'll think of another title, because basically it has to do with which side of the street you're walking on. Are you walking on the dark side of the street, or are you walking on the light side? And I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about the way we're living our lives. Do you know it? It's important how we live our lives after we're saved. I mean, you know, we don't earn anything more. We're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, but our lives are going to be the quality of what we live, and they're going to be the result of our choices. And so, what I want to talk to you is about what we do now that we're saved. Maybe there's somebody that's not saved. Maybe you're listening to us on the internet, you're not saved. Maybe somebody here this morning, you don't know if you're saved. But even though you know you're saved, you may know that you're going to heaven. If we don't make the right kind of choices and walk in the right path while we're here, it's not going to profit us, and we're going to find ourselves in the problems. In Ephesians chapter 4 is where we're going to start. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind. Now let's stop there for just a second. That you no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind. See, the people of Ephesus were Gentiles. There might have been some Jews that were living there, but the biggest majority of the converts at Ephesus were Gentiles. And what Paul is saying to them here is that you don't need to keep on walking like you were walking before you had your encounter with the Spirit of God. You don't just get saved, get ready for heaven, and keep on walking the same old walk that you walked when you didn't know anything. And he said the walk that they were walking was in the futility of their mind. Figuring it out in your head. You know, there's two things that man, because of his nature, there's two things that man has a real tremendous desire to know, and that's where he came from and how. And if you leave God the Creator out of the picture, you've got to come up with some other answer. Which the answer is evolution. I mean, when you look at it, you look at God and evolution. They're not the same path. You know, when Paul was talking to the people at Athens, who were worshiping the unknown God, and he challenged them intellectually because that's all they had, in the futility of their mind. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. How's your understanding get darkened? How are you alienated from the life of God? Turn to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 4. Second Corinthians chapter 4, beginning with verse 2. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame. Certain things that are associated with the world, that when we become a child of God, we need to renounce. The hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Now, there's a lot of ways you can handle the word of God deceitfully, but the biggest way you handle it deceitfully is making it say what you want it to. You come up with an idea, this is the way I want it to be, let's find some scriptures that'll support it. Not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. In other words, the first thing is admit there's a God, submit to the God that you admit that there is, and follow His ways and principles. Now, those are human acts that we have to do. Admit there's a God and submit to the God that we admit that there is. There's a lot of people in the world that they admit there's a God, but they don't submit to Him, which I don't understand. I understand an atheist that doesn't believe in God living the way that they live, then I do understand somebody that believes in God and still lives contrary to what He said. I can't understand that as easy as I can understand an atheist. But even if our gospel is veiled, now, let's use that expression, if our gospel is veiled, let's use that having their understanding darkened over in Ephesians. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. Over here it says, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Who are the ones that are perishing? The ones who are alienated from the life of God. Whose minds the God of this age has blinded. Who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So where does it all come from? The God of this world. Or the God of this age. It's blinded the minds of the unbelieving. Your mind will become blind to the things of God if you have a stronger desire for the things of the world. We make that choice. We choose the things of God or we choose the things of the world. We may bow on our knees sometimes, give our heart to the Lord and say, Lord Jesus, I understand that it's only through You that my sins are forgiven. And only through You, Lord God, that I'm going to make it to heaven and that I trust in You and I believe in Your grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. And therefore, we have established our relationship with God. Then the next thing you need to do is renounce the hidden things of darkness. And allow for our minds to be enlightened. Being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. You know, it doesn't do me any good. I could stand up here and I could just rattle off a whole lot of worldly things. I give you a list of it. But I got an idea that most of you in here know the worldly things I'm talking about. I mean, we know that stealing and killing and lying and adultery and greed and covetousness, unforgiveness and gossip and backbiting and slandering and all of these different things, just keep adding to the list. All of those things are characteristics of the world. Characteristics of the life outside of God. And I've said in times past, they're not our nature now. If you're a child of God, it's not your nature to sin. And every time you sin as a child of God, you're going against your nature. And when you go against the nature of something, you put that thing in jeopardy. And I've used this as an example. By nature, your knee bends one way. Now, what if you try to bend it some other way? You're going to mess it up bad because you're going against the nature of it. Your elbow bends one way. You bend it some other way, you're going to mess it up because it goes against the nature of it. You know, too much alcohol goes against the nature of what your liver does. When we go against our nature, we set ourselves up for that part of us to be broken or diseased. We're a child of God and we're walking in righteousness. When we walk in unrighteousness, the injury part or the disease starts to work. It might not happen all at once. All of you know our friend Al Glusky. At one time, he was a robust football player, an All-American in college, and played for the pros, and was a man's man. Go get him. But you know all that he was doing, some of the stuff that was happening to him while he was ramming his, he was a center. Not S-I-N-N-E-R, but C-E-N-T-E-R. He's the one who hiked the ball. And so when he'd hike the ball, his job was to run right over the guys in front of him. And so what you do sometimes in doing that is you get your head down and you just keep pounding. You know, it's like putting a helmet on you, putting your head down, running into the wall several times over a period of years. And the thing, the problem that he has now that's making him lose his mobility, harder to stand and all that thing, is stuff that happened to him against the nature of his body over a long period of time, and it all built up and it caused the breakdown. Now you may get away with sin one time or two times, but you keep going back to it and one of these days it's going to break something, or it's going to cause a disease and you're going to have to pay for it. Because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. And their heart is blind because we've allowed Satan to blind it. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness. What's that past feeling? Does it mean the feeling? No, it means their conscience is gone. Listen to this. 1 Peter chapter 4. Begin with verse 1. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, Arm yourselves also with the same mind. That's with the mind of Christ. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. In other words, if you put your flesh to death, sin's not going to bother you. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past time in doing the will of the Gentiles. In other words, Peter is saying to the people around him, you wasted enough time living like the world. It's time you woke up and started living some other way. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, or the unbelievers, when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable adulteries. I mean, idolatries. Those would probably work too. In regard to these, they are the ones that are out there pushing the ways of the world in this regard. In regard to these, they who are pushing the way of the world think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation. The world looks at us as Christians and thinks it strange that we won't do some of the stuff they do because they don't understand why. And they speak in evil of you. You ever notice it when you get the news and opinion polls and all like that? You ever notice who the troublemakers are? Who's the world think the troublemakers are? The world thinks that the Christians are the troublemakers. Hollywood thinks that the Christians are the troublemakers. That's why they'd like to get rid of all of us. They're not going to moan and groan and cry when we're gone out of here. They're going to say, thank God. They're going to say, good riddance, we got rid of them. They're gone. We don't have to put up with them anymore. Now, they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. Praise God, I have already given an account to God for what I am. I told God I was a sinner and I needed saving. That I needed His grace to change my life. That I needed His grace to give me the strength to walk the best I can. And I tell you what, I have done my part to step in holes. I mean, I've stepped in my part of them. And you know what I mean by that? Those times when I did less than a perfect job of performing my Christianity. But thanks for the grace of God. But that doesn't release me from attempting, by the grace of God that's within me, to live the way I'm supposed to live. Now, back to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 20. But you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. Paul is saying here, look now, if you've really heard what we're preaching, there'll be some differences. That you put off concerning your former conduct. The old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. In other words, that old nature of yours that was running out there doing everything the world was offering it, he said, you need to put that off. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The only way you can do anything with your body, the only way you can do anything with your old man, is to get your mind renewed. When your mind gets renewed, it'll start operating your body in a different way. Now, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. One more scripture. Colossians chapter 3. Beginning with verse 5. Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Sound familiar? Just read it a minute ago in someplace else. Now I'm going to smile a little bit, but I'm going to... You know, things run through your mind sometimes. And just kind of... See, it says, therefore put to death your members, which are on the earth. See, I'm a pastor of this church, and the church has members. Put to death your earthly members. Your fleshly members. Your ungodly members. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil, desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And I read that now that, you know, during my history of pastoring, I've pastored every one of them. I've had every one of them members in my church sometime or other. Some of them got changed, they're going on with God, and they're living good lives. Others put up with me as long as they could, and went on out there so they'd be loose for me to do what they were always doing. And I don't know how you make a difference. Person either chooses God or they choose their old life. And this morning, you know, 6 months from now, where will you be? It won't depend on what I do, it's going to depend on what you do. I mean, I can do everything right for 6 months, but that don't mean you'll be here 6 months from now. You've got to make the choice of what you're going to be doing. And some people just don't make good choices. Now, let's read on here a little bit. I've got a couple more scriptures. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. The wrath of God is coming on the sons of disobedience. But it's not coming tomorrow. Unless Jesus comes tomorrow. Disobedience tomorrow is going to get you killed by what the devil's doing to you. As long as we're under the grace of God. Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn the world, but to save it. Now, there's things that happen because people make the wrong choices, and as a result of that, they step right out in front of the devil's truck. And he runs them down. And God's not to blame. God is trying his best as long as grace is alive on this planet. God is trying his best to get us to submit to that grace and to change our lives, and the devil is set on getting us all killed. Dragging us off into his realm and getting us killed. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. It is. In which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. In other words, it is coming. It is coming. It is coming. The wrath of God, the judgment of God, it is coming. On all of them. All of those things that you once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. My whole thing this morning is just to challenge you to see where you're walking and why. To what areas of your life there may be that you just haven't dealt with. And every time you take a step in that area, you're closer and closer to something breaking. Or some disease setting in. And I'm talking about from a spiritual standpoint. I mean, you know, here you got a husband and wife, let's say. And there's this little issue in their marriage. It's not any bigger than the thorn. But every time something happens, they sit on it. They don't bother to get rid of it. They just sit on it. And then, once they get up off of it, then it don't quite hurt as bad. Then some set of circumstances comes back around and they sit on it again. And it hurts again. And if that isn't dealt with, somewhere along the line, that marriage will be injured or diseased and probably die. And that's not what God wants. And that's not healthy for anybody. It doesn't help anybody to go through marital problems. Now, you get through them, you come out the other side, and you're right, and your heart's right with God, then, may you know, it's the old saying, if it don't kill us, it'll make us stronger. But those things are not good. Now, here is the conclusion. We know what's right, we know what's wrong, we know what to do, we know what not to do. It comes down in every situation to choices. Don't you wish you could have made a choice 10 years ago and said, I won't do anything bad, and by making that choice, all the bad stuff left? In the last 10 years, you never was faced with anything because you made a choice that you was going to do good and not bad. And so the bad left and you never had to face it anymore. And all the choices you had was good choices. That will work because every day of your life, there's a good choice and there's a bad choice. I don't care how close you are to God. There's a good choice and there's a bad choice and you're going to make it. Now, there's some really rotten choices that we know we're not going to make. You know what I'm saying? There are certain areas of choices that we say, I would never make that choice. And over here, and I would always choose this way. But everything is not fornication. Everything is not witchcraft. Everything is not that obvious. There are stuff like greed and gossip and unforgiveness and bitterness and being offended. These are things that are not in the realm of this. They're in the middle of the playing field. We had to make those choices. Now, and see, here is the issue. Here is the main issue. You will be able to put this all together and be able to walk in it when you understand this. Do you believe what you do? Or do you do what you believe? Do I establish my beliefs based upon what I do? Or do I establish my dues based upon what I believe? So what's that mean? That means it's important to believe the right thing. And what's the right thing? Now, how about this? Let's narrow it down to one thing as an example. How can you answer, how would you answer this question? Yes or no answer, okay? A yes or no answer to this question. Are you righteous? Yes or no? Are you righteous? You look at your life, check out your behavior, and immediately come up with no. Or he became sin who knew no sin. I believe we sung that this morning, didn't we? That I might become the righteousness of God in him. Am I righteous? Yes. Now, if I really believe that, righteousness will flow out of me. Most people don't live righteous because they don't believe they're righteous. And they don't see any way to get righteous because they've tried it. I tried to live right, and I couldn't do it. I tried to be righteous. You don't try to be righteous. You accept the righteousness. You accept the fact that Jesus Christ made you righteous, then you'll start living like it. You're victorious. You start to live like you're victorious. I mean, what are you victorious over? You need to be victorious over the enemy, over the devil. Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. We need to start believing that instead of waiting for something around every corner to hurt us. If I really believe that nothing can hurt me, I'm not going to go around the corner, run into something and be hurt. It's your definition of what hurt is. Does that mean you suffer pain? You can suffer pain without being hurt. You suffer some real pain and in just a minute you're over it. We live what we believe if we live successfully. We believe the right thing. We all live by what we really believe. Make sure you're believing the right thing. And I'll tell you what, the world has no clue about what the right thing is. Let's stand.